fought. So working people, use your power, the key to liberty. Don't support that rich man style of luxury.
And there ain't no way they can ever keep us down. Oh no, ain't no way they can ever keep us down.
We won't be bought, we won't be sold, to be treated right, well that's our goal.
And there ain't no way they can ever keep us down.
We've been shot, we've been jailed, Lord, it's a sin. Women and little children stood right by the men. But we got a union contract that keeps the worker free. And I'll never shoot that union out of me.
They'll never shoot that union out of me. Oh no, never shoot that union out of me.
Got a contract in her hand signed by the blood of honest men.
And they'll never shoot that union out of me.
From the coal mining district of West Virginia, "You'll Never Keep Us Down." That's Hazel Dickens singing that. I love her. We got often play her music. This is Kevin Ann at Eagle Strong Voice. It's Here We Stand, August 4th. Welcome. This is the regular show of the Republic of Canada, but now expanded internationally to 12 other countries, known as the Republic Alliance, uniting people in all of the countries, which we'll mention today where they are, united around the program of taking back power into the hands of all the people. And as part of that, of course, the campaign starting Sunday, September 11th, disestablishing the Vatican, the oldest criminal conspiracy on the planet, folks, that we've documented over the last 7 years so well on this show. And I'm really delighted today to have a member of that alliance from Australia with me. I'm going to bring her on in a little bit. Her name's Nina DiGiglio. She's a public health nurse, a town councillor, and a member of the Republic Alliance from Australia. And we're going to be talking about the upcoming campaign, but also all sorts of good things related to it. Because, you know, this coming month is what something Napoleon called the favorable moment in a battle. Because the Church of Rome is teetering on the brink of a crisis that makes the resignation of Pope Benedict in 2013 pale in comparison. Because recently, of course, Jorge Bergoglio admitted on July 29th that, yes, genocide happened. Well, hello, when anyone admits that, under international law, they've got to face trial, prosecution, and punishment. Now, as a result of that, local governments, at least in Canada and America, are beginning to nullify tax exemptions for the church. And in a panic reaction, Bergoglio has started calling in all the funds of the Catholic Church. They want them all centralized in the Vatican Bank because, of course, their business partner, China, is expecting them to come through on the $1 trillion at $780 billion that the Vatican Bank has promised China to fund its expansion. Obviously, they want to get that money guaranteed, so Bergoglio is jumping through the hoop and making sure all of the money is there. Now, of course, the most recent farce in that is that, you may have read this in the news, the Pope just lopped off the head of the leadership of the Knights of Malta. And this is quite funny because the Knights of Malta are a very lucrative society within the Catholic Church, and he wants all their money, of course. So he's doing kind of what happened, if you know anything about medieval history, the Knights of Malta are descended from a group called the Hospitallers, which was a warrior society, took part in the Crusades. But they wiped out the Templars, the Knights Templar, because the Templars were getting so powerful and so wealthy. The Hospitallers and the Pope and the King of France destroyed the Templars in 1307 and grabbed all their wealth. Well, it looks like Bergoglio is repeating that old, you know, infighting tradition within the Church of Rome, and they're now wiping out the Knights of Malta to get their money. So, I mean, this shows you folks the falling out going on and how it's possible to keep up the pressure, because we prove what Sun Tzu says in The Art of War. You provoke a bigger enemy to destroy itself, and that's exactly what we're witnessing. So you can follow all these developments. And as a matter of fact, if you go to murderbydecree.com, go to ITCCS updates right now on that site, and you'll see all of the recent articles posted about this. Also, the on that article, the latest article, which is entitled The Global Campaign to Defund and Disestablish the Church of Rome, you'll see a timeline there, what we want folks to do over the next month, including not only the September 11th action, but things like picketing and helping to occupy your local church, getting your town council to nullify tax exemptions, and working with indigenous elders to take back that land stolen over so many centuries. So it's a very exciting time, folks, and please write to us, Republic National Council at protonmail.com, and we hope to see all of you involved in those actions. So without further ado, I'm going to go to Nina DeGiglio. Hi, Nina.
Good morning. Oh, it's our good morning, but your afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing really well, Nina, and it's great to join hands with everybody across the waters and carry on this battle. I'm wondering if you could say a little bit about yourself and your relationship to this whole campaign, and we're going to get into the whole meat of it after that.
Yeah, firstly, I love what you've said, all that intro. I guess for me, also, I'm a nurse that's been deregistered because I chose not to get the jabs and listen to my body and to, you know, the spiritual essence inside of me. And I grew up in Sydney. I'm now in a country town, the Shoalhaven, and got to know my Aboriginal people through the Aboriginal health programs that were funded by governments many, many years ago. So that was about 15 years ago. So I live down south coast of New South Wales. But what really resonates for me in joining this alliance is I really want to expose evil. I want the truth. I want to stand for humanity. Seeing the abuse of children, I've seen videos of what people in power can do to not only children but to women and vulnerable people. My whole life's been about looking after vulnerable people and ensuring that they were empowered. So to see after this explosion of the COVID and seeing what really happens in the higher echelons, we need to expose the truth and have spirit back in our world where God is, you know, first and center, and where we can have a world that works, where humanity has love, peace and unity. That's basically why I'm here.
Yeah, and it's been really great talking to you on Zoom calls, but also with the whole other group. Just yesterday we had a fantastic discussion with people in six countries. And, you know, it's amazing. Wherever you go, you're meeting the same kind of beautiful people who are just fed up, and we say, look, we can't work through the old system. We've got to create our own courts, our own assemblies, yes. You know, our own public health hospitals. And tell it a little bit about that, and we can lead into your whole relationship with Indigenous people, which is a whole important front as well.
Yeah, sure. So I was on local council. So I've also been in politics and I was on local council. And one of the things we always passed was to exempt the taxes and rates for our churches, which we had the power to do as councillors. And it always didn't sit quite right with me because growing up Catholic, there were some religious controls that really disturbed me, but I didn't really know the extent of it. But you always think as a councillor you're doing the right thing. Oh, I'm sure the churches are going to do the right thing for people, so we'll give them their tax exemption. That's how it kind of, you know, goes under the table. Say something then. Yeah.
No, go ahead. No, I just agreed with you.
Okay. I lost the thread of what I was going to say after that. That's okay. I just really want to expose and be part of the September 11th day and join within in with our Aboriginal community, who've also been at massive disadvantage locally. What we found, I don't know if I can say this now as part of the talk, but there's a couple of things that disturbs me about the treatment of our Aboriginal community, is that they went into their homes and gave them the jabs forcibly, and told them it was all for their own benefit and they were going to protect all their elders. So lies, lies, lies. And then we've got a situation in our area. We've got a church at Huskisson that a dirty development wants to go there, a big development, and that land belonged to the Aboriginal people. That's a burial site. Now, there's a church there, but the Aboriginal people kindly gave it to the churches because they felt like they were very kind to them. That's Aboriginal people are very generous. They've been taken advantage of. So now we see the total disadvantage to them in that now the church has sold this land to this developer for a very, you know, large sum of money so that he can do his development. So total disrespect to our Aboriginal community, and we need to really call that out.
Well, you mentioned two really important things that I'd like to just talk about for a few minutes. You talked about forcing injections on Native people, and the whole huge real estate connected to the church and their grabbing of and destroying Native graves and that kind of thing, just out of greed. So we find in Canada, and there's a lot of connection between Canada and Australia in terms of the legislation, the genocidal approach. And I found the same thing going back many years. I remember when I started my radio show in Vancouver in 2001, a Native woman came on the show and said, well, Health Canada showed up again and they shoved needles in all our kids' arms. And if we can't go against it under the Indian Act or we go to jail. Now, that's 2001. That's way before COVID. They're shoving experimental drugs into the arms of Native kids and killing them, right? It's just crazy.
And speaking about jail, Kevin, we have a high representation of Aboriginal people in our jails, and it's such a stitch-up for them. Like, it's a setup for them to never succeed. Yep. They do this fake, oh, we'll give you money, we'll, you know, include you, you know, to have a voice in the parliament, which is something a young Aboriginal woman I'm working with at the moment, we know that's a way to have the Aboriginal people come under an umbrella where there's more controls placed on them and all of us because the Aboriginal people are our sovereigns. So we can stand with them in solidarity at this time, which is what they don't want us to do.
Right. Now, have you had, you know, you've been a nurse and you've seen all this up close. Have you seen the impact when these shots are forced on Native people? I know that in Canada they tend to go after the elders and the children all the time.
Yeah.
And they tend to die disproportionately after these shots. And, you know, the amazing thing is it's Pfizer and Glaxo and all these companies that are now pushing the COVID drug. They're the ones who went in and killed all these Native kids over so many years. So I don't understand why people who know that would allow them to shoot up their own families with the same companies.
Look, what I'm finding here is that our Aboriginal people are too scared to talk out loud. So I get an inbox here and there. Oh, look, Nina, I love what you're putting on Facebook, love what you're doing, we support you, but they can't say anything because they are that disempowered and they're fearful of police because their whole world's been about having loved ones locked in jail in the past. So they certainly don't want to have that occur to any of their families. So they comply.
Yep. Same old deal. I mean, when you look at literature in colonized people, I remember there was a good author, Frantz Fanon. He was an Algerian, and he was talking about, as a psychiatrist, dealing with Algerians who lived under French colonialism, and it's the same story. People are so crushed, they turn on each other and are violent with each other, but they can't imagine even raising their thoughts against the colonizer, or in this case, the church, which was the big colonizer and still is. So it's even finding one or two that have broken from that and working with them, but then they get isolated in the communities. They consider, you know, if you're not as dysfunctional as us, then you've sold out, right? kind of attitude.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We do have that issue here. We have Aboriginal people. So we've got what's called Aboriginal land councils, and they're funded by government. And because they're funded by government, those people in there are comfortable in those positions, so they feel loyal to the government, so they comply with the rules and enaction all their strategies and all their protocols. And then there's the other Aboriginal people in the community who, you know, basically look up to people to support them, like they're quite dependent or they're vulnerable. And being that position, they deserve to be cared for and looked after. But what happens is these organisations funded by government literally harm their own people, whether it's knowingly or unknowingly, but and that splits the community and it splits families, and I've seen that happen. But what they do very cleverly is that they never dob on each other. They just keep it in-house. So it never ever, so the truth never ever comes out in their community. But they know who's who in their zoo.
You know, it's a, it's like a mirror image of what goes on. They're called band councils in Canada, but it's the same deal, the puppet governments. And, you know, the British had a long tradition of doing this. They did in India. You know, you send, you take the Maharaja's kids and train them in Oxford and make, and then they go back and administer the country on behalf of the Brits. And, you know, so it's a long tradition. But one thing I wanted to ask you was, is there people who have broken from that in the Indigenous world, like younger Native people, set up their own sovereign groups that have nothing to do with the land councils or the band councils or anything, and they get targeted right away, but they're trying to recover their own traditions and say, we don't need these puppet organizations.
With Ashley, we've got a young girl who's actually wants to do something like that. She's taken it, you know, she's bitten the, you know, she's chewing it off, she's got taken it by the teeth, and she's going to create something like that. Right. So I think for me, my job really is not to interfere with her work, but to support her, empower her, and raise her up. But the behaviour you were speaking about earlier, it's very classic narcissist behaviour, and divide and conquer. And because of this mass formation psychosis that we've got at the moment, and we know governments have technology to, you know, suppress us and I'm just reading a little bit about on microwave technology and MK Ultra, like that. These things do. I know it's probably a weird conversation for some of the new ones maybe hearing, but there is technology out there that's not known to the common people that they do, and they put on us, and then they blame us and you know, call us stupid. Or so I guess at the end of the day, for me here in our community is to not call people stupid or sheep or anything, but to just make them aware and try and love them and allow them to know what's actually occurred to them. That's a crime.
That's right. And, you know, I find it, with all the energy technology, there's a part of us that can't reach, you know, the higher self. Sometimes I call it the heart mind, or, you know, the mind within our heart, within our soul. And I find the people that are in touch with that inner power can't be affected like that unless they choose to, you know, not be part of it. But and so that's all at work, and you're right to raise all that. As a matter of fact, the Indigenous woman you speak about, we've spoken to, and she plans to come on the show in the future to talk about, from her people's perspective, what they're doing. Now, you know, in our flag for the Republic of Canada, we have that Tura Wampum symbol of the Europeans and the Indigenous going down the river together, side by side, sharing the land. And so, you know, that's kind of our philosophy in the Republic Alliance, to recreate our societies from the grassroots, overcoming this tradition of genocide, right?
Yeah, look, that vision really resonates for me too, because our Aboriginal people, they've got a lot to offer, and they've been stopped. So all their healing remedies and methods, like I'm a nurse and I'm, you know, in the past dishing out pharmaceutical, you know, remedies that really make people sick. So for us not knowing the remedies of Indigenous people, it's criminal. And to take all that knowledge away from them and turn them into what they call them here, coconuts, like the black on the outside and white on the inside. So they kind of label each other, in that perspective. Sorry, I'm getting my words all muddled. But at the end of the day, you get the gist of what I'm saying, is that at the end of the, you know, their technologies, their intelligence, their healing remedies have all been stopped. And, geez, it would be nice to resurrect that. Walk hand in hand with them. and throw away some of our dirty bathwater, keep the baby, and work together with all their good remedies and healing modalities, and really have a healthy society. You know, all our foods are poisoned. The way they grew food, they understand the different weeds which we poison with glyphosates. It's big. This thing is huge to uncover.
Yeah, I find it interesting, Nina, that the higher people go in a system, the more trapped they are. Their minds are trapped. They feel restrained because they got their pension to worry about and all their dependencies and everything. And it's only the people on the margins who have the freedom to take these actions. It's like all of our movement in Canada started with street natives, homeless natives. They're the ones who occupied the churches with us. It wasn't the Bank Council natives who felt they had a lot to lose. It was those folks without anything left to lose. And they're the ones who tend to fuel these movements initially, but then again, they're the ones most under attack, so it's kind of a catch-22, right?
Yeah. Look, I was on council. I was. It's easy to be swept away by the... So you get taken on conferences and you have these meetings and you're made to feel a bit special, because you're on council. It distracts you from staying with the people on the ground. So at the moment, our representatives... They're not there for the people. And if I wasn't who I was, I would have been swept away with all that glitz and glatter and meals. But it never just sat right with me. I was always just like, but aren't we here for community? So I can tell you, they say councils and health professionals are there for the community. Their actions and words don't match. And for me, that means a lack of integrity in the way organisations function. I think people have the right idea. I think a lot of them want to, but they just get distracted and taken away by, what's put in front of them.
That's why, our model of, alternative assemblies and courts, it's not fueling their system. It's pulling the energy out of their system and creating a new one. And we find, that's incredibly empowering for people because then it's in our hands and it's creative. It's whatever we create now. And that's why I see, this whole... the approach of the common law republic as a great weapon in the hands of people who don't know what to do, who are trapped in the system, and they know they got to get into something else, but they don't see an alternative until, we create it.
Yeah, look, they want us to be dependent. I mean, we know the whole thing was a stitch up by the guys running the show, including the Vatican. Having strong, empowered people is their biggest fear. So I guess our job is to... and try and get as many brave voices and hearts across the line to where we're at and say, don't be afraid to use your voice. God gave it to you for a reason, We're here for humanity. Like, just give them permission to shine and this is what I want to do with Ashley. And I know Ashley will pass that on in her communities because she's a powerhouse.
She is. She's an amazing young woman. I'm so impressed by her.
Yeah.
Like what we call in Kannada, a clan mother, like from the spiritual lineage where the women were the spiritual elders in the community and they held it all together. That's why they went after the women. It's interesting, a lot of the missing Aboriginal women in Canada, if you trace their origins, they're from that, what they call blue bloods or the spiritual elders. Mm-hmm. And they knew they had to wipe them out in order to put in their puppets. And, that's the heritage we're living under, So it's recreating that. That's the beautiful thing. It's popping up again like new growth in spring, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think what's really – the women in our community definitely have been suppressed, but I'm seeing pockets of really amazing women pop up. I actually wrote some emails to our Aboriginal health organisations that have been going out jabbing the kids and the women and all the vulnerable. They're not connected yet. And the woman that runs one of the organisations, she's a nice person. I've known her for a long time. But when she gets wind of what she's done and what's happened, I think she's going to experience tremendous guilt. And I am concerned about all the health professionals who've been out there jabbing, thinking they're doing the right thing. When they get the reality, they're going to just either, I think they're either going to crash or commit suicide or I don't know. What were your thoughts on that? I've just put myself in their shoes. If that was me doing it, I would just, man, the guilt would be enormous.
Yeah, you're right. And you know, we get that all the time from people. But here's the thing. I found in the church, if you're a humanitarian person, you tend to get weeded out quick anyway. And the people who are left are those, you know, willing to pull the trigger, if you like. And they don't, they've kind of suspended their whole morality and their ethical feelings. But it's true, there are people like that, and we have to welcome, have an open door with everyone all the time. That's how we relate to cops and everybody. Say, look, you got to leave the corrupt criminal system. Here's what you can join, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things I'm doing in my group here in the Shoalhaven, creating an off-grid kind of community, and I don't know if I should say this out loud, but like we do need new councils. That we need a parallel world for a while as we transition. One of my thoughts is I don't want to give my money to the current system because they're not using it appropriately. We know there's we know about the tunnels. We know about the child sex trafficking. We know about our funds aren't going to our roads or our infrastructure. They're poisoning our water. Like, why would I want to give money to that when if we can, as a group, have our monies collated separately and use it for good, that would be the way moving forward.
You're describing the first step a lot of our local Republic assemblies take in Canada, and that is they withhold federal tax money. Not as individuals who are then targeted, but as a whole group, we pass a law in our community saying we're keeping the money in our community. What can they do at that point, right? Arrest everybody?
Yeah.
I doubt it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You mentioned the thing about the whole destruction of graves, and the Vatican has an enormous investment portfolio around the world. It's in the trillions of dollars, the land and properties they own. And now, under the laws of passed both by Indigenous elders and our own republics, we can lawfully seize all of that property because they're a convicted criminal organization. They don't have the right to gather revenue on that. So it's a matter of mobilizing people and getting them to see they can actually do it. Are there people, and I was going to mention about the jabs too, we have our sheriffs go in and protect families who don't want to get the shot. We go and stop the destruction of these grave sites. It's that community grassroots action that can stop these crimes, right?
Yeah, that speaks to me. I was a Catholic in my youth, grew up brainwashed into their system. I have personally experienced, my brother was sexually abused by a clergyman. I have my cousin who was also had that experience. So it's the Aboriginal people, you know, being even more vulnerable than us. I can't imagine the numbers of those children. I know in the health system, because that's where I've mostly worked, that I've heard stories and their mums have been upset. They don't want to go to health service because they know there's members in there that do it to the kids, that abuse them. I wish I knew a little bit more. I know there was one Aboriginal lady, she was gang raped by 7 men down in her Aboriginal community, and her father was a clergyman, in fact. He was a white man, and her mum was Aboriginal. And then after that, it was really violent, and then they put in a bottle of beer up her area, and this woman was a talented singer. And it wasn't until she was 65 years old that she shared that story.
Oh, yeah,
and
I
then
know.
When we, yeah, so she lived with that for years, and she was an alcoholic. So she was labelled as a hopeless alcoholic, woo, whatever. And what she was a very talented woman with a really, the secret she kept to herself of being gang raped by 7 men one night. And, but when I got Aboriginal women in a circle to speak about, and she said, I want to share this story now, I'm ready to share. There are another 10 women in that circle, Aboriginal women, and 8 out of those 10 women had a sexual abuse story. So I know really high. I just don't know them all, but once I did that, I went, oh, my God, this is huge.
Well, it's huge, and you know, you're talking as well about how our whole movement started. It started in the talking circles among Native survivors in Vancouver back in 1997. We started sharing stories, and then we said, okay, we've got to do more than talk. Let's confront these churches. That's how the spark that started it, just the ability to speak about your truth, right? And the reason it's all silenced, and this is something you should tell every Catholic in the world, there's a policy in the Vatican Catholic Church. It's been around since 1929. It's called Crimen Solicitanus. And it says, it's a standing policy, when children are raped, everyone's silenced, the police are not told, and if you talk, you're excommunicated. So it's telling every Catholic in the world they got to support a criminal conspiracy to help rape children and protect child rapists. So, I mean, if Catholics knew that, we say, look, stop giving money on Sunday, stop attending. You're involved in a criminal conspiracy here. That's why it's so common, because every child rapist in the world knows they can become a Catholic priest and get away with it. It's part of the policy.
Yeah, let's talk about our Vatican. They get us in, they make us feel guilty. You're not going to heaven. I remember when I was a kid, you're not going to heaven unless you do 10 Hail Marys and 10 Our Fathers and put money in the church and light up a candle and all this stuff to have my sins forgiven. I know. It's the biggest stitch up. But the thing is, a lot of us believed it. I was a kid, I was like brainwashed into it.
Yep.
But, you know, the Vatican literally is a criminal organization, and they've been allowed to get away with it. We have to call these guys to account.
Well, they are coming. They are collapsing. They're on the defensive because of this years of this pressure. And it shows you that grassroots pressure works. You know, but when we started this, nobody used the word genocide. Now everyone's using it in relation to indigenous people and these young children in these death camps. I mean, it just takes time, like water on a rock, and we have to stay at it. And that's a problem. You know, people tend to give up easily when they don't see results, and we're in this for the long haul, right?
Oh, look, I'm really keen on this because, we need to get back to, the building of the Vatican is a snake, right? So they're not actually praying to the God that we pray to. I don't believe so. If you've got a snake in the back of that church and the Pope's saying prayers to that, who is he actually praying to? So you've got a question. What they're doing.
You know what the word Vatican means? It means snake, serpent. It means divining serpent. And, you know, it's funny because the indigenous people here in Turtle Island or North America say that before the whites came, there was a Daganoweda. He was a peacekeeper, the Colon, the great peacekeeper. Some people think he was Christ incarnated among native people like over 1,000 years ago. But anyway, he warned about the pale, double-headed snake who was coming from the east. And he would say one thing and then say another. He would be evil and good, and he would fool people to kill them and take their hearts. And yet one day the people would rise up and kill the two-headed snake. That's you hear that tradition all over North America and the indigenous world. So I'm sure the Aborigines where you are have exactly the same kind of understanding, right? They're just like you say, it's underground because they get killed otherwise, right?
Yeah. And look, what I'm really pleased about from our Zoom calls, of the Italians, all the countries you got involved in the alliance, Canada, France, Italy, Greece, Spain, Latin America, Sweden, England, Denmark, Netherlands, Australia, USA, New Zealand. I'm really pleased about the Italian. Italian is my background. I thought they would be the hardest group to get around on this, that they've been hoodwinked, that Rome's the place. But I'm really proud to hear that the Italians are stepping up and supporting this. Kevin, why don't you just tell me a little bit more about that?
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. As a matter of fact, my family, Annett, their name, Arnesti was the original name, and we came from around Milano in northern Italy. But, we've been dissidents going way back. So we were what were called Waldenses, which were Protestants in Italy. And we got burned out by the Vatican. So we went to France, where we became Huguenots, but then we got burned out by the king and the Pope. So we went over to England and became Annett, right? So we got this route going back there. And I find when I was in Italy, there a lot of people they're just naturally, they have that Mediterranean passion, right? They're just not going to back down. And you got both contrasts. And I think it's just a delight to see that. The Italians are working now on their own common law court in Bologna. They're just hundreds of people are coming to their meetings. This is a real revolution sweeping the planet, and you know it's great to be part of.
Yeah, I agree. I've had it like because everything's been taken away from me. Basically, I'm just hanging by a fingernail in my house, but I will stand in the common law. Like I've got my red flag out here. There's a whole lot of strategies I've got. If they trespass on my house, I've got things I want to say. We know. We paid for our houses over and over again over the years because of all the high taxes they've been foisted on us because of our birth certificates, and that's probably another conversation because you're not really here to talk about that. But we've got common law groups. I've learned a lot in the last few years. I mean that whole birth certificate thing. When I found out about straw man and what that was about how they referred to us as our debt entity, I'm like, what? That's
crazy.
Nuts. It's insane.
You know,
and we need to expose it. Sorry,
what
was that?
It's like sitting in the talking circles when people name their own torture and say it wasn't abuse, it was torture. They found their own word for it rather than the language they're given to kind of soften it. You see this light come on in people's eyes, and when you give people a bit of knowledge, like, you know, your capital name on your driver's license is not you, it's your slave designation, it's a corporation, it's not even a human being. And you see them go, wait a minute, you mean I've been lied to my whole life? I've been in this matrix my whole life? And then they say, okay, what can we do? And you've got to have that alternative there, or they kind of look around and go, but yeah, but everybody else are dead, and they kind of almost collapse into despair. So we got to find and unite those people, and that's the whole plan with the Alliance, right?
Yeah, when you get your head around it, it is difficult to get your head around, but I did write to my tax people and said, thank you for your notice of paying taxes, but you are speaking to a dead entity. I am a live woman, Nina, from the family DiGiulio, and I have not made contract with you as a living woman, therefore I will no longer be paying my taxes. I've heard nothing back. So simply teaching people how to write a letter back, and then they know that you know, game's up. The more of us that do that, the better.
It's true, and I would also recommend that you find 11 other people, form a local assembly. 12 or more people can pass their own laws, and then say, okay, our local Republic Assembly has passed this law. None of us are paying taxes. Go stuff yourselves, right? And then they get even more worried because then the power's slipping away and the money's slipping away from them. So that's what we try to do on the ground, right?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, we got to use our own intelligence and power. When we've got it, we've been told we don't, and that we're powerless. And these guys, it's like a mother-father relationship, that dependency. But we need to come out of that childhood, adolescent stage, and really, all of us are called to be mature adults, being grounded in love, kindness, compassion, but also discernment. Large amount of discernment's being called from us all at the moment, and it's this call for all of us to transform who we are. And that's the journey we're on. And I'm so excited to be on the planet at this time. I didn't think I was going to live for this. I cannot believe I'm part of it. And I think what's interesting, my mum had German measles when she was pregnant with me. I was supposed to be deaf, dumb or blind. And I'm like going, well, why didn't that happen? There must be a reason. So it gives me more reason to take charge and make change. I'm meant to be alive. It feels right that I'm here, and my whole personality and the amount of energy I have and who I am, it's exactly, and all the things that have happened in my zone and probably your zone and not got me to this place. I think helping other people, you know, understand you chose this, let's move together, let's work together, let's mature up together, let's turn this ship around and have this world work for humanity. I don't know. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm going to make you the host of this show. You're amazing. No, I mean, like, I agree with you totally right down the line. You remind me of a Native woman, Maggie, and she was, you know, in really bad shape, of course. But one night, we had a protest in downtown Vancouver. They'd grabbed one of our people, and he was in the cop shop. And I saw Maggie. This was midnight. She was dragging a police barrier across Main Street in Vancouver, blocking traffic as part of our protest. And if you looked at it, you'd think, you know, this is a really on the skids Native woman. She's alcoholic and everything, and yet she steps forward and she has no fear. She said, what can they do to me you haven't already done, right? And she came up after Trevor, the guy who was locked up. We got him out after an hour. We just sat down and stopped the traffic, right? But then Maggie came to me in tears after, and she hugged me, and she said, you know, we all have a purpose in life, and you've helped me find mine, and now they can't beat me. It was so beautiful. And it was just, you know, all the suffering worth it, right, those moments.
Yeah, it is. It is worth it. See, last year, that September 30th, I was terminated from my job, and I think I didn't go into any depression. I just went, okay, taking my job, you're taking away my nurse's license, all my friends and family have gone. What else can happen here? And I'm still alive. And you know what else? But you know what's happened, and it's probably happened to you too, Kevin, and everyone else that may be listening. This journey has introduced me to the most amazing humans I didn't even know existed. So when I stood for elections, when I wasn't allowed into council buildings, because I wasn't jabbed with that friggin' bioweapon, nearly everyone in society abandoned me and they said, oh, she's a lovely girl, but what a shame she listens to that internet and doesn't look after her people the way she should. Got so many amazing comments about me, about who they thought I was, and still out there a little bit. But to the people that supported my campaign are the real people. And I didn't know them a month before that election, and they just all stepped in and advocated for freedom. And it was very interesting because the Greens Party, who I was a part of before, can you believe that? They said, oh, so the environment isn't as important to you as your freedom. So they were making me question what my values were. And so I was able to respond. And yeah, so I said, no, the environment is important, but if you don't have freedom, you don't have an environment. You just like it.
It's all connected.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're kind of illustrating, my whole life too. And it's the last thing you want to do when you've lost, like when I lost my kids and I was blacklisted and had no friends and everyone, even family, were just cutting off ties. The last thing you want to do is sit in a room by yourself. I used to get on the bus when I used to drop off my kids. You know, I got to see them twice a week briefly because of the court order that the church had paid for when they were torpedoing me. I used to get on the bus because I was distraught. My daughters, they were, you know, just in tears that I had to leave them all the time. I was just crushed, but I would get on the bus and I would sit with people and I would just take their energy just to be out among people. And then going down to the healing circles, people have suffered a lot more than me. If they can do it, then I can, right? We need each other. We only have each other. And that's why I don't really like the internet too much, because it makes us think we're in contact. And we've got to have face-to-face, hand-to-hand contact to build something new. And you know, you and I have both learned that through our life experience, and we got to mentor others as elders about that, right?
Absolutely. I love where I'm at. I don't look too popular in the eyes of the community. They all think I've gone rogue. I'm like going, let them think what they – before it used to bother me, what people think of me. And as a politician, it's always important, like, what do people think of me? But now I actually literally don't give a rip. I've got truth here. And I'm standing in it, and I'm unshakable, and you can't move me from this place I'm at. I've never been this solid before, and I've never known myself to be this person before. I was always very a nurse that was compliant. Yes, doctor, whatever you say, doctor. I was like that before. And now I can say to doctors, you can bugger off, because now you're on the wrong side of history. Most of my colleagues are on the wrong side of history. And but I still have this need inside of me when they wake up that they're going to need someone that's going to understand. I will be there for people. And I think we mentioned earlier, moving forward as a community, I have started my own clinic because, and it's a clinic that's unusual. Yeah, it's off it's not part of the system. People going to hospital like last night, they need to do a RAT test on everyone. No, she's going in for high blood pressure. You don't need to do a RAT test on her at all. So these people who are unjabbed are still being treated poorly when they enter our hospital system. So I felt the need to do something offline. So I opened on the 1st of September and I am supporting people with, I'm a 32-year nurse, so I've got a lot of background. So I won't be able to do suturing and things like that, but certainly a lot of health prevention and people who are dealing with mental health issues, those people who've had the jab, we've got detox protocols for them. So there are things, a lot of things we can do to support our community out of the system. And we're basically, it's a foundation, so I'm going by donations because, for me, that's the right thing to do at the moment.
Fantastic. This is great news, and we want to promote that for you. So is there a contact or a website you can tell folks who are listening?
I'm keeping it local because, it's all right. I'm happy to share it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not promoting. I'm just like word of mouth on the ground at the moment, but I just wanted to share that because if other communities out there are thinking of doing it, I'm a little... Yep. Little wog girl from Australia here, and I can do it. Honestly, you can do it. Just want other people who are thinking about doing something like this in the community, their nurses out there or doctors that have checked out, even if you're an allied health professional, an exercise physiologist or physio, and you want to do something like this, I encourage you to do it in your community. And the more of us there are doing it, the better it is for our people, and we can keep our vibe high in the health world.
Right. Now, this is great. And, let's respect your autonomy right now. And because when I mention, sometimes in the past, when I mention and promoted things on the air, people get immediately attacked with emails. The usual disruptors and smear artists and that are constantly hovering around. So let's, we'll talk more about this because I hope to have you and Ashley back on soon, right? To talk more about these things, but that's a really encouraging development, and it's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, I only want to speak about it because if other people on the precipice of thinking about doing this, I just really encourage them to do it. And I'm happy, Kevin, if someone just wants to know how I went about it and how I built the network to do it, how I got a little bit of funding to do it. It's all through donations, to be honest. And then someone found a little office in the middle of town, and it was cheap enough, and we got volunteers painting it up, making it look beautiful and warm for people to enter. It's not a big space, but it's our hub where we can do some good work in the community.
I could just have people write to us, and if they look legitimate, we can forward their email to you. We could do it that way if you like, or we can talk. Okay, that's great. Now, we've got about just under 10 minutes, and is there stuff that you really want to talk about we haven't touched on yet?
No, look, what I really wanted to let people in Australia and the world know is that this is an important movement. These churches... have lied to us for centuries. We need to, the truth about who they are and what they claim to be and how they operate needs to be exposed. And that doesn't mean a lot of the people there are like that because they're not. A lot of people on the ground are very good-hearted. They've been deceived, and we are warned in the Bible about deception. And I think... It's in the place where we thought we could trust, and that's what needs to be exposed. And often it shakes you at first, but with all of us supporting each other with truth, and we can all move forward and live in our own truth and honor God in our own way through our actions and words, and have our world be the one where Jesus actually said in the Bible, the meek shall inherit the earth. the meek shall inherit the earth. Let's look for all the meek and let's inherit this earth and do God's good work here. That's why I wanted to be in your program, because I think we need to live that kind of life and expose the evil. And the book of Revelations, Revelation is about finding truth. We're revealing all this crap, all these lies, all this deception. And that's what's exciting, that we're doing that. That's the revelation.
Well, you're exciting just listening to what you're saying. And in fact, I used to say when I was in the pulpit, a guy came up to me after service and said, you know, Reverend, I'm sorry, I haven't been to church. And I said, well, don't worry, Jesus only went to church once, and that was to trash the place when he threw the money changers out of the temple.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we don't need these church buildings. People can worship and have their communities the way the early, you know, Jesus movement began. And we don't need bishops or popes or priests to tell anyone what to do. The kingdom of heaven is within you. It's within all of us. So, yeah,
and it's
beautiful.
What the Aboriginal people do. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's an indigenous way of understanding things and living.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, it was Maggie, when she was talking in one of our circles, she said, well, you people pray to your God and talk about your God. We live with our God. We experience our God. We don't need to talk about it. And, you know, like their relationship to Mother Earth and all the creatures who they're protecting, you know, it's beautiful. It's the way we all are inherently, I think.
Yeah, that is beautiful. That's a really nice way to kind of, like, segue out of this whole thing, our Aboriginal people and how they live and they experience God. And that was the thing they wanted to take away from them. So to jab them, disempower them, blanket them with those chickenpox blankets they did here in Australia. Yeah, that's how you kill their God. That's how you try and kill their spirit. But you know what? Those people, no, they're still here. They're determined. There's a real strength and character about them. And, you know, we need to be here to support them and bring that back, allow them to bring that back out of themselves.
Right, and that's a big part of our agenda in the Republic Alliance. As a matter of fact, you and I are going to work on a committee to kind of make those connections with Indigenous people, their nations and our nations. And I remember it was the guy actually who gave me the name Eagle Strong Voice, who is an Anishinaabe or Ojibwe elder. He said, you know, we can only trust white people when they're willing to give up something of their life and privileges and culture. Otherwise, it's just words. And he said, I see you have, Kevin. He said, you've lost everything for our people, so we can trust you, and we give you this name and adopt you into our Crane clan. That's how it happened from, you know, what we did, not what we talked about. So it's really all, it's just there. It's waiting for us to act and go beyond the words and just do it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, we're in the precipice of a big transformation. And I definitely want to be, and like you, I feel like we are on the right side of history. We're on God's team. And that's all I really wanted to say at the end. And I'd really thank you, Kevin, for the opportunity. I've looked at your work. I've in process of reading some of your books and watching your DVDs and your videos. And I just want to thank you. When did you start? All those years ago, decades you've been doing this work, your persistence, your courage, your determination is truly inspiring to me. And this has been your life's work. And I think you're at a point now where it's a tipping point where we're going to see the change. I don't know, for you, I think maybe sharing with people what this moment like here being like this for you is like. After all the years of banging away at this.
That's true. And it's really gratifying, but I just did the right thing, and I think any moral person would. What I'd like to talk about in my experience is it shows you the impact you can have if you just stay at something. And, you know, we're in it for the long haul, so that's part of the lesson I've learned. And, Nina, I really want to thank you for being on. I know we're going to have you and Ashley back. You're a wonderful addition, an amazing human being. You have a new family now, just like I do, and we're going to turn the world around. We've already started. Oh,
absolutely. I'm with you on that. I want to be part of that. I'm so excited. So much energy to burn and be part of that. And I thank you for the opportunity, Kevin. Thank you.
Thank you. And we're going to have you back on real soon. Thank you, Nina.
Wonderful.
Thanks for being with
us. Ciao.
Okay. Bye for now.
Bye.
Nina DiGiglio from Australia, a soul sister and a fellow member of our Republic Alliance. If you want to be involved in anything you've heard about, write to Republic National Council at protonmail.com. And I really urge you to go to murderbydecree.com under ITCCS updates. Go to the list of things you can do. And under that first article with the list of when things are happening, there's another one about the tactics you use when you're protesting, when you're occupying, when you're seizing church property, the nuts and bolts, what we've learned over the years of how to go about it. It's invaluable. So again, read that up. Write to us, Republic National Council at protonmail.com. Most importantly, don't rely on the internet, folks. Rely on your own sense of what is right and wrong and what you need to do now. Start action, start initiatives where you are, and then contact us, link up. This is a growing mass movement all over the world, and it's beautiful because it's coming from you, the people. Nobody else, no other, not a lot of money, not a lot of power, just we, the people. It shows you the power of eternity that's within any act of integrity. So I want to thank you all. Thank you, Nina, and all of you who've turned in today. We're going to end on a really good song, and it's what I like to play regularly. It's called Carry It On. It was from the Civil Rights Movement in America, and we're going to be back live next week, September 10th, the day before the big events on September 11th. So be involved. Tune in again. Stay strong. Stay clear. Carry it on.
There's someone by my side walking. There's a voice within me talking. There's a word that needs a saying. Carry it on, carry it on, carry it on, carry it on. They will tell their lying stories, send their dogs to bite our bodies. They will lock us in their prisons. Carry it on, carry it on, carry it on, carry it on. But all their lies will be forgotten. All their dogs will lie there rotten. And their prison walls will crumble.
Carry it on, carry it on, carry it on, carry it on.
When you can't go on any longer, take the hands of your sisters and brothers. Every victory just means another.
Carry it on, carry it on, carry it on, carry it on,
carry it on, carry it on.